This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Entertainment-based film and television are the most widely followed forms of media in the world. Today, in a special roundtable discussion, we take a look at the influence, power, and respect that African Americans have in Hollywood, from development to funding. Our guests here with me at our NPR West studios are casting director Monica Swan, who's worked on films including Roll Bounce and television shows including The Parkers and All of Us, plus TV and film writer-producer John Ridley. He wrote the screenplay for Three Kings, wrote and directed episodes of the Barbershop series, and is a novelist as well. We also have independent filmmaker Erica Connor, who co-produced the film Idlewild. She's at NPR affiliate Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta. Welcome to you all.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Erica, let me start with you. How did you get your start in this business?
Well, I have to first say thank you to a great director by the name of John Singleton. My background was really broadcast journalism, and so I started my career in publications at Vibe Magazine. And I met John Singleton maybe like at a Vibe music seminar or something we were having. At the time, he was developing Shaft for a remake. And we got into this long conversation and didn't see him for quite a while. And I left and worked for New York Channel 1, actually. And
that's a news, very well-respected local news channel.
Yes, it is, in New York, yes. And our discussion was Rosewood at the time. And, you know, John was very much like, oh, you know, this is too painful to talk about. I don't want to have this interview. He says, tell the camera guy to turn the cameras off unless you and I just talk. And through that conversation, John really encouraged me and saw something in me that I never could have foreshadowed. He said, you're in the wrong business. He's like, you need to come to Hollywood. There's no young black people behind the scenes. Everybody that comes out wants to be in front of the camera. And you got an opinion. You got a voice. Like, come out to Hollywood. And I thought it was, like, the greatest pickup line. I was like, what? So I took a risk, and I made a phone call, and he made it happen. He opened up doors for me, and thus Idlewild.
Idlewild, of course, with Andre Benjamin and Big Boy.
And Big Boy of Outkast.
Yeah. I actually was there at NABJ, the Black Journalist Convention, when you screened it for some of the members.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like you constantly had to negotiate your way into higher budgets for the film.
Oh, yeah. You know, they were getting nervous about the budget, you know, but then they would see dailies and realize, like, wait a minute, this is avant-garde. This is art. This is something that's completely different. Like, maybe we'll invest into it.
Well, I want to get more to the point of what you do as a producer, but first I want to talk to our other guest. John Ridley, who you mentioned, was, you know, working with you on this project that you were trying to develop with John Singleton.
Mm-hmm.
You're a pinch hitter. You do film, television, novels. How do you keep up? Yeah,
you know.
How do you keep up the pace? I mean, that's a lot.
You know, I love to write. I tell people that my job and my hobby are the same thing. So, you know, when other people are out, whatever, golfing or bowling or whatever that is they do, I like to write. So I'll work on a movie or a TV show during the day, and then I'll work on a novel or a graphic novel or what have you in the evening. So for me, it's relaxing. What I like to do, I never get tired of writing. I'm probably writing actually less than I did about 10 or 12 years ago when I started, but unfortunately more of the stuff that I write gets made or gets produced or things like that, so it seems like I'm doing a lot. But a lot of it is
Oh, you are too modest.
Well, you know,
I think that people just need to go to imdb.com.
Yeah, and check them out.
But if you love to do what you're doing and you're fortunate enough that people want to make it or produce it or publish it or what have you, then, you know, you just acquire a lot of credits over time. And I'm not trying to diminish that. I'm very thankful for it. But part of it is because I love to do what I do.
And Monica, you are also someone who has got to be a multitasker. You are working or have worked on so many things that you had to do some of them at once. What do you do as a casting director or a casting agent, and how do you juggle multiple projects?
A good staff is how you juggle multiple projects. But basically, I try to bring to life what the writers like John write, and to get as close to their vision as possible with actors, you know, people who can actually speak for them and make it come alive. And it's usually a compromise somewhat. Sometimes we hit things perfectly, but usually it's a compromise. In casting it, you get as close to it as possible. I'm the one who brings in the actors who give the voice to the written page, and I narrow down the selection before it comes to the producers and the director.
So people probably are constantly sending you headshots and following you around and baking you cookies and
yeah. You'd be surprised at the places where I get offered headshots.
In LA, I guess that could be anywhere. So, you know, we heard from Erica what, like, the aha moment was that got her on her path, this meeting with John Singleton. What about you? What was the moment where you said, I can do this?
Well, I've been in it for quite a while now, and I actually got a summer job at a studio when I was in high school. And I was always a media kid, but I never wanted to be an actress. But I had an affinity with actors and was constantly watching films and television. And when I was working at the studio one summer, I worked there several summers through school and then in college, I ran into a casting director who hired me that summer and mentored me subsequently, Joe DiAgusta, who had been the VP of talent for just about every major studio at one time or another. So he took me under his wing and trained me. And after college, I went back to work with him, and he became head of talent for MGM for a while. So I went there, and then I also later was mentored by Ruben Cannon, who is now a producer and still does some casting. So that's where I started, and that was when I finally figured out, okay, this is what I can do, and this is where I fit in with the actors. I don't want to be before the camera, but I know talent when I see it, and I know how to identify good performances. So I was able to, under the tutelage of those men, hone this and develop it.
John, you're someone who, in your writing, doesn't necessarily write only African-American characters or only for an African-American audience. Has that helped or hurt your career, do you think?
You know, it's ultimately, I think it helped my career. It was interesting is that when I started in television many, many years ago, it was largely thanks to guys like John Singleton. There was sort of this growing consensus with the people who run Hollywood that, oh, there's actually a market for movies by black people for black people, and mm-hmm. the, you know, they'll go and they'll see it. You know, there's a marketplace here. Mm-hmm. So in television, there started being shows like, you know, Hanging with Mr. Cooper and things like that. The Martin Show came out at the same time. And so there was an opportunity for a lot of new black talent to work in television and movies. But at the same time, there was this little bit of ghettoization. You know, you have some really talented people who are saying really interesting things about black people, be it in an urban environment or wherever. But there was also sort of this rush to imitate that, where you had a lot of people who maybe weren't as in touch with the black environment or just wanted to do something that felt black, which is like, let's just do this. And it didn't really say anything, and it didn't really, I think, speak to us as much as it was trying to make a buck. So for me, it was sort of navigating and saying what is interesting and what actually says something or what is funny, and also trying to be a businessman, what is going to help my career, and what are the kinds of things I should maybe stay away from and not be part of that, because people will look back on that and go, well, that wasn't very good. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't a good career move. So for me, it was going sort of moment to moment. I did work on shows like Martin and Fresh Prince that I think were quality and funny shows. And it was trying to get a place, you know, I finally sort of turned a corner was I worked on a show with John Wells called Trinity, very short-lived drama, but it was about an Irish-American family in New York. I mean, there was no black people in it whatsoever. And ironically, you know, when I did that, there were a lot of executives who finally said, oh, well, this guy can write anything. And so for me, then it became about, well, now I really want to do shows that really showcase black people, because I think I can say whatever I want to say in any environment. So then I went on to a show like Platinum, where it was very much black and in the music environment, but very much a family show and a show about business and things like that. So Hollywood, mm-hmm. it's very hard to sort of navigate all these things. But I think, you know, in answer to your question, yes, ultimately, trying to navigate it and navigating it in a way where I tried to do some black shows, tried to avoid some black shows, and ultimately want to do, in particular, I'm talking about television, black shows, has very much helped me in Hollywood.
Erica, you, in Idlewild, you did a film with an all-black cast and with, you know, some really amazing flourishes with the music and the dance and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next for someone like you who has done a high-profile project like this, who is an African-American woman? Are you concerned to any degree that you're going to face a tough road getting subsequent You know, because there's kind of a sometimes a higher bar set for people who've broken through, who are African American, mm-hmm. but, you know, who want to move on to that next project. Are you concerned absolutely. That you haven't even, you know, really broken through the glass ceiling yet?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely been a thought. But I think what keeps me safe is, and just particularly for me, what keeps me safe is that I sort of move in that same direction, and not in a musical way, but move in that same direction where it's art, it's creative. I mean, the phone calls that are coming in, I don't want to go above the bar where I'm at right now because I feel safe in that zone. I feel like there's a niche there, and it's a safe niche for me.
And Monica, what are you planning on working on next? And how far in advance do you go forward and try to plan your projects?
Well, as much as I'd love to plan them in advance, it doesn't always happen that way in this business. Things come, you know, almost randomly. I'll get a call from someone because funding has just suddenly come together and they're ready to move forward very quickly. Or I may get a phone call, and this happens very often, from producers whom I've worked with or know, and it's like I have a meeting with an exec on today or tomorrow. I need a list because my project will get a green light if I have the right names, you know, of people, the right list of people who can do this. And because it's something that I'm doing constantly, I tend to be aware of who's where and who's available and who's looking for various things. So I can put something together very, very quickly. And sometimes I'm given a lot of notice where someone may come and they're still working on a script and they'll give me an outline or a synopsis, and it's, you know, very cast contingent, but it has to be the right person. So they, it may be months ahead or a year ahead, you know, and so I'll start working with it. I'm looking to do more features, which I've been doing more of for the past few years, and both independents and studio films, and that's the direction that I want to go in more. I've done a lot of television. I'm still doing television. As you said, I do the series All of Us, and I've cast probably, I think, about 25 to 30 series over the past few years, so usually like several at a time. So though that continues to be challenging and I do still enjoy it, I think I can express more creativity in casting and feature work.
I think, you know, I just want to throw out, Monica is one of the people you have to, honestly, someone like me in Hollywood, you have to bow down to, because first of all, just, you know, a lot of things flow through the front of the camera, and getting the talent and getting them in the door, and you know, you look at the people who really drive things, it's the talent. Monica had said, you know, having an eye for talent. I'm not, you know, trying to say anything about executives. A lot of times they don't necessarily have eyes or ears for talent, and you've really got to insist upon, this person is talented. This person is really talented. That's what someone like Monica does. So, you know, for all of us, many reasons, thank you, Monica.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just want to ask directly for all of you, do you think we saw some back-to-back Oscar wins for African-Americans recently? That's about who's in front of the camera, people like Jamie Foxx. But behind the scenes, are things getting better or worse for African-American talent who are writers, producers, directors, casting agents? Monica, I'll start with you.
I don't think things are getting worse. I just wish that they would get better faster and more consistently, because I have seen things change, but just seeing how other things in our society change and move forward with knowledge as people are less ignorant, you know, of the world around us, I think that the integration of minorities behind the scenes in projects should be a lot further along and a lot greater than it is. I'd still like to see more of us in the room when you go in on shows, and not just because you have to staff a black show with black writers, but just I'd like to see more opportunities there, and I'd like to see more of us on non-black shows there. You know, there are a few of us who are moving, and you're the perfect example, John, of that, and I'd just like to see those opportunities open up more for us, because I believe the talent is there.
Yeah.
John, what about you? I mean, what do you see in the writing world?
Well, I agree with Monica's assessment in general about Hollywood. It's definitely better than it was you know, 13 years ago when I started. But when you look at the amount of entertainment that's also out there now, I mean, 13 years ago, there were still four networks. Now you have all these cable networks and everything. And you look at, you know, the number of prominent, really prominent black actors who can make a project go. You know, you have Will Smith. Mm-hmm. And you have Denzel Washington. You know, Jamie Foxx, as talented as he is, you know, had two movies that didn't do so well. You know, he had Stealth and Miami Vice. And let me tell you, it's not a black or white thing. You look at Tom Cruise, you know, a couple of missteps and people shake their head a little
bit. A couple?
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing is he still makes a lot of money, but based on how much he costs, is it worth it? You know, so these things about power and who can do what, it's all very tentative. You know, it just changes, like the price of gasoline. One minute we're getting killed, now it's $59 for a barrel of gasoline. We're happy again, but, you know, hey, 2 years ago it was $40. So you look at behind the scenes, are there more black television shows on? Yes, there are, but they're all on Sunday nights on the CW. Is that right, or is that good? Should we see more black shows all over the dial? You know, you look at Grey's Anatomy, a show created by a black woman, written by a black woman, that's fantastic. But is there a trickle-down effect? You know, how many shows that are being pitched this year are being pitched by black writers or being looked at seriously as multicultural shows? I can tell you, I've just gone through the pitch season, not many of them.
What about you, Erica?
Well, I mean, I share the same sentiments exactly what John is saying, and particularly what Monica is saying from the casting point of view, because as a producer, you do sort of walk into a room and you are kind of a casting director because you're pitching a vision, you're pitching talent. And the hardest part for me is that to walk into a room and not see my peers in the room, someone that would say, I get it, I understand it, you know what I mean? It's really about not being afraid and just really allowing real talent and educated talent come through because we're there, we're here.
Well, Erica, Monica, and John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Erica Connor co-produced the film Idlewild. She's at NPR affiliate Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta. And with me at our NPR West studios, we've had Monica Swan, who is a casting agent and director who's worked on films including Roll Bounce, and film writer, producer, and director John Ridley.